This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It is moving season, so make sure you call my friends at Blacktop Moving for all your moving needs, whatever and wherever that may be. Home or office, crosstown, cross country. Give the pros at Blacktop Moving a call. 316-6196 is the phone number. They have changed moving in the city of Memphis. When you're moving, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life. Blacktop gets it. They're licensed, bonded, insured. They're fast. They're on time. These are the things that matter. And they're also careful. They don't just compromise carefulness with quickness. They are both. Give them a call. 316-6196 is the number. Book your move now. It'll book up fast. Spring's here. Moving season's here. Blacktop wants to take the tour of moving your things out of your hands and make it that much easier for you. Blacktop Moving. They're changing moving in the city of Memphis. Call today. Everybody around this time, do the rundown. Let's go.
Now, it's the rundown presented by Trippett Insurance. Trippett Insurance at 6462 Stage Road in Bartlett. Depend on your local insurance agent. Trippett Insurance at 901-365-1472. Online at trippettagency.com. The rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Well, I don't know if this has been mentioned on radio yet, but there was another incident involving John Morant that TMZ reported on overnight. This is different than the incident from over the summer,
July,
at his house. This is different from the incident at the mall. This, according to TMZ, happened at Houston High School,
September 22nd,
in the documents. Police say that at an after-school volleyball game, Morant's sister, who was a student at Houston High School, got into an argument with another student. Witnesses on the scene, according to the docs, told officers both parties had called each other bitch, prompting Ja's sister to contact Ja about it all. A short time later, cops say Ja's mom and dad, Ja's baby daughter, and a group of adult males all came into the gym together. According to the documents, most of the group, excluding Ja's father, went to confront the student in the stands at the game who had been quarreling with Ja's sister. Which one of y'all called her a bitch? Jamie Morant, Ja's mother, allegedly said. Cops say in the documents they told Jamie she cannot come upstairs and confront the students and they did not need to make a scene at the school. But officers say while they were talking, one of the men with Ja moved past police and walked towards students. According to the report, witnesses on the scene said the man slapped a phone out of a student's hand who had been attempting to take a picture of Ja in the stands and said, "I don't care about none of that. I will beat y'all's ass." A witness later said that man was about to pull a gun, though cops on the scene said in the documents they never observed a firearm during the incident. Police say eventually everybody left the gym without further problems. Next day, this goes on, cops say the mother of the student who had been in the spat with Ja's sister wanted to press charges against all parties, including Ja, for intimidation and harassment. Cops say Jamie Morant wanted to press charges against a student who had been in the tiff with their daughters for threats and intimidation. Cops investigated Ja for simple assault and intimidation, but no charges were ever filed. That is the rub of this story, which makes, of course, now three that we know of. Two involving high school students, of the three, and we don't know how old the third, that the mall, we don't have the age there, you know.
Well, that was like a finish line security or
security guard. Yeah. So okay, not a minor. Right. Okay. Yeah. So only two of the three involved minors.
Well, and two of the three got mom, right?
Yeah. So, look, Ja's already dealing with this. He's away from the team. He is doing self-reflection. He is seeking, you know, guidance and help and things of that nature. So, to me, this is, honestly, this is more of the same. This is more of why, clearly, this needed to happen. You know, part of me understands that if you get a call from your baby sister who says, you know, she's being, and we don't know what version of events she told Ja, right? We don't know that. I can understand the urgency to make sure that baby sister is not put in harm's way. I understand that. So I don't know how he was, I don't know what Ja was told. I don't know what was said. I don't know what information was relayed. And I don't know what the right response was supposed to be. Just do nothing and just say, figure it out on you. I don't know, man. I don't know what I would have done in that situation. Like if I had a teenage sister and she calls me and she says she's got some problems at school, you know, I mean, I'm not going to show up with, you know, 15 people, obviously.
Which is very similar to what happened with the mobile incident. You know, you ride down.
Right. But I certainly feel like I would investigate the situation. So part of me is like that's your, you know, Ja's her brother. And I think it's sort of his responsibility to protect her in some ways. I don't know if the situation called for protect. Again, just going, all we have is the police report here. So our information is quite limited in scope. But it does sort of, you know, again, paint this picture of escalation with Ja. Like somehow, some way, for some reason, these situations always seem to be, you know, collars get hot, you know, and like we got to get to a place where Ja Morant can go out or Ja Morant's family can go out. And if a situation arises, things don't escalate to that level. You know, that's where we got to get. We stopped taking calls on this show because y'all can't handle talking to us without running your mouth and getting sideways. So we stopped taking calls. We did, you know, and that's never going to change. I hate to say it, but we adjusted, you know. And so what is going to have to happen with Ja in this situation, they're going to have to get to a place, Ja, family, whoever, where situations don't always have to end in police getting called. I mean, it's just the truth. And maybe that means, like, not going to things. I think that's part of the adjustment. Because, look, it's obvious in every one of these stories. What's the other common theme, Jason? What's the other common thread? You tell me. There's three incidents, and there's three common things that each story has ended with. Each of the quote-unquote victims, or whoever, whatever you want to call them, they want to press charges. They want to get to Ja's money, right? That has happened three separate occasions. So now it's clear and abundant that these people see you as exploitable because you'll react and they want to get into your pockets. So if that means removing yourself from situations that you otherwise would not have.
See, well, that's where I buck, because I don't think the kid came to Ja's house, invited, by the way, saying, this is a come up for me. I'm gonna challenge this dude, get in a fight with him so I can sue him later.
But that
I don't believe that kid went into, but you're right that there's an opportunity here for people to take advantage of you from a situation where they might try to get under your skin. But I don't, and I certainly don't know enough about the other incidents, but with that 17-year-old kid, that kid was invited over. You know
maybe
what I'm saying?
They're not setting out to do it. But it's going to happen, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's now going to happen.
The escalation in all of them. That's where I thought you were going. I don't think these are three incidents of someone trying to take advantage of Ja Morant seeing an opportunity. Like, Ja has put himself in these incidents and escalated himself.
No, that's fair.
He's escalated himself.
That's very fair.
Again, I'm not going to defend this 17-year-old who were keeping his identity for the most part private, everything else, but you know darn well he was invited to that game.
Yep.
and you're not invited. You know, you're probably going to that game. Yeah, ooh, I get to play against Ja Morant. You know what I'm saying? You're not going into that saying, I'm going to take advantage of this guy and sue him, because you're probably hoping to go back at one point.
Right.
I mean, what are we talking about
that's
here?
True. That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
But I think that's got to be part of the equation, right? For the, like, maybe.
I think it's pointing the finger in the way that you stated. All I'm saying is I think it's pointing the finger more so at the people coming after Ja rather than Ja himself.
Well, that's not what I'm trying to do.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just saying
I think that needed to be stated.
You are going to, everybody's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's going to do it now. If maybe they don't intend to, or set out on it, right? Oh, I'm going to go set Ja off. But if it happens, they're going to want to sue. You know, every time. So if you feel like it may be a situation that could happen, you can't be a part of it, right? If you're Ja Morant, you can't let yourself be in that situation. That's part of the, you know, that's part of all of this. Because everybody's going to leap it. It's like the hot coffee thing at McDonald's. You know, it's like, of course the coffee's hot. And I'm not, again, it's not exactly the same. I'm not saying that anybody set out to piss Ja Morant off so that they could get a lawsuit. But I think it's now a situation where everybody knows what, you know, he's worth. And it's more likely than it was 3 years ago that happens.
Yeah. Listen, these police reports have been around for a long time. This incident happened back in September. The other ones happened in July. The difference is when the local media sees these police reports, and I guarantee you they've seen this one for a while because you've already searched Ja's name and all the police records around here. But when there are no arrests and no charges filed, locally you feel like, you know what, we're not going to do it. It's not a story. We're not going to pursue it.
Right.
But what you've got to realize now that any time Ja is in a police report, now with everything that's circling him,
yep.
National outlets are now asking the Germantown Police Department, and hey, we want in your database, we're going to search Ja Morant. And so all of this is going to come out, and that's where we are now.
Yep.
This is new news for those that, you know, aren't around Houston High School, the prep scene, everything else. It's an old incident, though, that you're to your point, Ja is hopefully, you know, at least seeing some light on. If you put all these incidents together, if you put the partying and everything else that he's been called out for by teammates, you put it all together and you in whatever awakening or healing needs to happen, hopefully this is all part of that process. But no, John, you gotta understand now, anytime he's in a police report, charges or not, it's going to be news, and especially if it hasn't been broken locally. And that's what's happening here with these. Because I just say that to say these police reports have been around for a while. They haven't been reported locally for a reason. I think mainly because no charges were filed. But now the atmosphere's changed. And because you've had these stories, you've got other news outlets, national in this case, coming in and asking for these police reports. So what Ja's got to realize, I can't really do much of anything. But most importantly, John, I'll go back to the point. Because you started this with how would we react if our sister was...
Yeah.
Because I feel that if my son or my sister, like, I would want to go up, right, and show support and back them up. But here's where we're getting at. Why you got to bring the whole crew?
Right.
Are you calling up 9 dudes when you go up there to, you know, protect the honor of your sister? Like, that's my whole point is that's the pattern to me, whether it's do I hit him when he's talking to the rest of the group, right, with the 17-year-old kid at his house?
Yep.
Whether it's riding deep up to the mall when mom's been offended? Or in this case, you got mom, dad, and you got your child, but you also got all your boys who, you know, police are saying, you know, pushed past you and tried to talk to some of these kids. So that's my thing is the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we constantly bringing them? Why are you constantly trying to put on for them? Why you, you know, should I hit him? That's for them. You know what I'm saying? That you don't. They're hanging on to you, bro. You're not hanging on to them, and so. That's the thing. I thought that's where you were going with what's the same in all of these. I don't see necessarily, at least in the beginning, folks who are out to take advantage of Ja because he's rich and we think we can. I see constant escalation, Ja bringing all his folks to the deal, and we're having the same, you know, it's the same story. Again, key to this is that this one's another old one. This one's from September. Hopefully, again, Ja's getting the sort of, it's, I don't even want to, it's just really, at this point, John, it's common sense.
Right.
Because there are so many stories out there now. Your image has been, we can say there are things he hasn't lost, Nike, Powerade, all that, but you might have lost $40 million with All-NBA, but more importantly, you got folks out here putting, you know, these memes, 2K23 player got Ja with a ski mask on. Like, it has to tighten up. It can't be as public with your crew because we see that you
you love to have the crew around. It can't be as public in this situation because, John, they will run into situations where people are trying to take advantage of them. But they've allowed, you know, so much of this. And, again, in this instance, you know, you've allowed to happen because you brought your boys, man.
Yeah. I mean,
the boys, the one pushed past dude and tried to threaten the kid is what, according to this report.
Well, look, you also have to have you know, and this goes back to the rudimentary conversation that we had at the beginning of all this, even going back to when the first police report dropped, right? Like, you have to have people in your circle that don't exist solely to gas you up, right? That don't exist solely to, you know, like egg you on, let's go, let's ride. You got to have somebody that is willing to take the temperature down, you know? Like somebody who would step up and say, yeah, we don't all need to do this, man. Like it's you know, you want to go like see what's up, like all right, but we don't need to go 15 deep to Houston High School, you know, because there's a disagreement. Because what do you expect to happen when you do that? You know what I mean? Like that's it's asking for a certain type of reaction, you know? And so I think, you know, beyond genuine, fake, however you want to say it, it doesn't matter. This has to stop. And it can't happen again.
He just had to know, too, that now there's eyes outside of town. Like, there's one thing, when you're a star, you know, whether you're a Tiger or whatever else, there's some things that are not going to be written on, that might be rumored, all that kind. Those days are over because of now these
it's just the fact.
These constant situations where now you got TMZ constantly checking, you got the Washington Post dropping stories, and we're saying, why? Well, it hasn't been reported locally. Because let's be real, again, you sort of give that star a protection, and especially in the cases where no charges have been filed. But that's off the table now.
It totally
and Ja's got to understand that, because it ain't just Memphis Eyes and local reporters on you anymore, you know, that want to have a good relationship with you or whatever else, or more importantly, want the best for you. It's now national that's coming in and trying to say, hey, Ja, there's a pattern of this, and we don't care, you know, who he is. We're going to continue to report. Ja and them got to understand that now. Yes. Anytime he's in a police report, charge or not, it's going to come up.
Look,
like that's where you are in your life. It's the same as Michael Jordan, same as LeBron James at this point in terms of if they popped up in anything, it's going to be news.
It is.
You are TMZ now.
You are. And
so you got to, I mean, it's tighten up. It's the same conversation.
And there's a reason why, right? Like those guys, usually they just go home. You know, like they just go home. They go to work. They go home.
But see, it's the allowing of these sort of but the fact that he's gotten through all of these from the summer and it really hadn't been reported on is how you get to the point of Saturday night where he's in the club just wilding out.
Exactly right.
Because there had been no repercussions.
There's some immunity, right?
That's why we are where we are.
Well, we said this, right?
And so, because again, hopefully an epiphany happens.
You know who knew about this? The Grizzlies knew about
this.
Man,
everybody.
Because the head of security was on campus, okay? So we talked about this earlier in the week. The Grizzlies did a bad job of handling all of this.
Look at all these incidents.
You know, because they never put it in Ja Morant's mind that
Exactly. Yes.
Like, this is unacceptable. This cannot happen. If you continue to go down this path, it is going to lead to nothing but trouble for you, for us, for everybody. You cannot move the way you moved when you were at Murray State. It's just that simple. It's just, you are now a celebrity. You're a public figure. You're worth half a billion dollars. People wear your shoe. People line up outside of Salt Lake City. Like, you just can't move the same way. And I hope that this week plus, whatever it ends up being.
And you've seen some sterner language from Taylor about, you know, their demands of jobs.
Yes.
And maybe that's part of them, hopefully, not just words, but part of a new approach by them.
Right.
That this has got to stop. And we've got to at least do what we can, what's within our control.
That's true.
To get Ja to understand this.
Right.
Again, ultimately, it comes down to whether Ja's listening.
Right.
But the Grizzlies clearly had a role in this.
Yes, they did.
Because in terms of allowing it to get to this point where he just thinks he's Teflon.
Exactly.
And can do whatever.
It's honestly a little bit like a parent and a child relationship, right? When you let the child get away with things and you don't discipline the child, and then you want to act surprised when the child's out there doing
incident
what he,
after
you know,
incident after incident.
Well, what did you expect to happen? There were no, he suffered
Nobody's
no consequences.
Nobody's ever coming out and said anything different.
Right? I mean, it's really, you set the tone for that. And I don't know if it was in the spirit of we don't want to do anything that would potentially piss him off because we need him as a franchise player.
Like, you know that's considered.
I'm sure it was. But again, there are still ways to do it. You know, there are still ways to do it without, you know, living in fear. You know, at the end of the day, not saying something and not doing something made it worse, as it usually will. So, you know, again, I'm sure they said something to somebody somewhere along the way.
Dude, Penny had kid, you know, he had the daughter at Houston. That's my point. And do you think that those folks went through and nothing was ever said to them? My point is, like, Penny's never riding down on a situation, you know, 8-9 deep in a where publicly you could get called out, end up in a police board. Like, that's not happening. And so that's the part. And we're asking this of a 23-year-old. But the fact is, he's already reached superstar status. Mm-hmm. And this story at TMZ, that most folks think this is just another version of the 17-year-old from July. No, it's another incident. I think that's why so a lot of people had missed it today. Yeah, they dropped it. Well, the other reason is because they dropped it at midnight. And again, because I can understand, well, this ain't news. No charges were filed. He's news anytime he's in a police report, period, because everybody's looking now, especially those outside of Memphis.
Yeah, there is a report that Powerade, according to TheDrum.com, has pulled its ad featuring Ja Morant from the internet. So I don't know what the it's TheDrum.com. So and it appears to be a real report. Like, it's not like one of these aggregations. Sure. It's just. But that's certainly, again, a consequence. I mean, when Tiger Woods, you know, when all that happened with him, everybody dumped him. You know, like, there were real, tangible consequences. And, like, that Tiger wasn't anything illegal. I mean, he was having an affair. It was a moral question. I mean, this is, you know, I guess no criminal charges were filed. But, you know, it's just bad. It's
because
bad
all Powerade sees is a new negative headline.
That's exactly right. It's a bad headline.
They don't care that it happened in September, right? They don't care that no charges were filed. It's another keyword, another bad headline. And so that's again why, you know, all of this, you know, incidents, whatever else. Again, you'd been sort of given that protection. You don't tell Powerade about it because nothing came of it. But now they find out about it later because nationally, the Washington Post. Which, what, that story dropped on the day the Powerade campaign started. Or now TMZ, you know, sticks their nose in. And, again, you're not getting the, you know, the superstar benefit from the national, the local superstar benefit from the national folks.
Right. So, again.
It's clicks for them. They're right in every time.
You're right. I mean, there's no reason for, I mean, Powerade to, I mean, they could go to a lot of guys that aren't going to give bad headlines. So, again, if it costs Ja Morant a huge ad campaign, if it costs Ja Morant first team all NBA, right? These are real fiscal monetary consequences that, unfortunately, I mean, those are the ones that hurt the most, beyond the missing of the games and the sort of national, whatever you want to call it, embarrassment or whatever word you'd want to choose to use. You know, it's a serious situation, and it's a serious, recourse. And you certainly hope that the lesson sticks. If it doesn't, I don't know what else, like, you're talking about here. I mean, 50 games, I mean, I don't know. I don't, like, because I'm assuming Powerade was a multi-million dollar deal.
You'd have to think so.
We know that the first-team All-NBA is 40. So.
Well, it's any of the All-NBA teams is what pushes them up to the 2.
Yeah.
To the 230. So if it was 13, fact is, there's a good chance he won't be one of the 15
Correct.
Selected
yeah.
because of these and the fact it's broadcasters and sports writers voting on it.
Yeah, so
it could cost you $40 million.
Again, I think we're all rooting for Ja. We're all hoping that, you know, he is taking this time to, you know, understand and reflect and know what in 2023 Ja can and can't do. Unfortunately, you know, it's like that old Uncle Ben saying from Spider-Man, right? With great power comes great responsibility, you know? And that's what Ja has. Ja is the most famous person in the city of Memphis. He is the, you know, in terms of profile, the wealthiest person in Memphis, and you have to change the way you conduct yourself. Just the bottom line. And I hope and pray that this is the last of these police reports that we hear about. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know about this one. I don't think I knew about this one. I knew about the.
I thought it was a basketball game. I didn't know it was a volleyball game.
Yeah, I knew about
that. So these are stories that, I'm being honest with you, that you knew this before this was reported.
I didn't know this one.
Y'all did, or people in our office did, or this is something that's known.
Well, again, Memphis
so there's
going to
be more than
town.
Is what you're.
I don't know if there's more coming. I hope that there's. I don't know of anything else. But
it feels like something I'd bet on. Again, and I hate that.
I don't know. I truly
can't argue with you for that stance.
We are now three in a row here.
Yeah. It's hard to give Jai the benefit of the doubt, but I can't.
If you had access to local police reports, you saw the mall incident, and I had not seen a police report on the Houston High one because we had looked at Memphis police, not in this case the Germantown Police Department. Yeah. So had not seen the report on this one.
Yeah.
But anybody on the prep scene had heard the story that Jai had gone up there in defense of his sister, and again. No charges filed. So it's easy here. You say, well, there's no story there. You know, this kind of stuff happens all the time. There's nothing there. Don't pursue it. But, again, with where Jai's put himself nationally, you've got folks sticking their nose, and it's going to be a story every time he's in a police report. They're searching his name in all local police department, Shelby County Sheriff, Deputy, Memphis Police, now German. They're searching his name in it. And back to the point about are any more there, that's why I think it's done.
That's good.
I think it's done. I've not heard of any more. I think this is it. But again, that's hoping. That's hoping. Hadn't heard of any more.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know of anything else. But
that's good.
But I think this is, again, it's a necessary.
And you got to know, too, Washington Post and TMZ is running his name through all of them.
No doubt.
If there were more, you would probably have the entire list.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, anyway, that is the latest with Ja Morant. And, again, you just hope that's the last of these kinds of stories.
Next story.
Ja Morant, at least according to Desmond Bane, was texting with the team afterwards saying how proud he was of getting the win, how much he missed them. The Grizzlies did end a three-game losing streak last night, won for the first time this season against Golden State. 131-110 was easy work thanks to a great fourth quarter, and that was a little bit different than what we've seen here in the past. But, after things tightened up to 6 going into that fourth quarter, Grizzlies used an 11-3 run. In that final frame to put them away was good to see. Like I said, particularly the way they had sort of let up and struggled in fourth quarters on the road previously. And so we mentioned it, Dylan Brooks' fantastic performance, even with the off shooting, 1 of 7 from 3. But his defense was fantastic, 6 assists. He was plus 22. He sort of led the way in terms of the spirit and energy. And then, of course, Jaren Jackson, those other guys, Jaren, 21 points. Tyus Jones need to make sure 22 and 11. That's the fifth time this year he's gone over 20 and 10 assists. He's been when he's had to step up as the starter, he's been everything they need for him. He was in that game as well. Desmond Bane, 21, 9 of 16 shooting. We went through this in the first hour. You hope this can continue against Dallas, obviously, in a couple of days, but then going out on the road for a three-game road trip where things have been much tougher. Grizzlies last night, again, you're getting fantastic efforts by your bench, outscores Golden State's by 17. Everything went right last night, including, Dylan Brooks keeping himself under control. Whether it's, as Draymond said, trying to bait Draymond, whatever else, he controlled it with his intensity, didn't go overboard. And again, maybe in the end there, after Draymond had tried to, in his comments on his podcast, said, I don't even know whether your teammates like you. You saw Jaren Jackson, you saw those guys come around Dylan at the end of that game to show Draymond and the rest of the world on a nationally televised broadcast that, he's our guy. And so I bring that up to say, listen, we went into that game not knowing where Dylan Brooks' head was. He struggled of late. He'd been criticized publicly, everything else. You'd seen the team go after and try to upgrade the position. You didn't know. Last night you saw a team come around him, and hopefully you can keep him in the same mindset because you need this Dylan Brooks if you're going to hold on to two, beat out the Kings for two, hold on to three, whatever it is. Be better if you had this version of Dylan Brooks the rest of the way. Hopefully that sort of galvanizing last night will help keep him there. But yeah, as you know, with Dylan, it's game to game, bro.
It is game to game.
Don't want to make any sweeping.
I was proud. I was proud of them guys last night. I'm not going to lie to you because, again, you see the final score with the benefit of hindsight and you say, oh, well, of course they were going to. No, they weren't actually, of course, going to win that game. In fact, they were underdogs to win that game. Golden State had just as much incentive as the Grizzlies did to win that game last night.
Having lost seven in a row.
Yeah. Like
playing a Grizz team that's
yeah,
well, as shorthanded as that one was.
And again, we talked about this, and you can attest to this. I mean, we were talking, you, me, Bennett were talking about it before the game started, and Bennett said, and there needs to be full transparency and accountability for the things that get said off the air as well. He said Golden State,
he's not going to appreciate this.
Well, it is what it is. It's got to be said. Golden State minus 2.5 per Bennett was a gift. This was yesterday morning. We appropriately came right back to him and said, No, mon frere. There is no such thing. Okay?
True.
If you think that the sports books.
Boy. John's smart, really smarting me up on some of this.
He's
stuff.
Putting us on front street here.
If you think, well, he's got to be accountable. If you think that the sports books are in the business of giving out gifts,
they got you right where they want you.
Don't hit send.
They know the psyche here, is what
you're
telling us.
Don't hit send. Yeah. I get it, right? Like, Golden State felt right, given the turmoil that the Grizzlies were in. But in many ways, that is exactly what made the Grizzlies the right side.
Well, to your credit, yesterday I remember you saying, yeah, this looks like, and then you quickly said, I think, but I don't think I'm betting this.
No, we talked about it. I mean, because the Grizzlies were in a situation,
somebody
right?
Somebody had the courage, though.
Where did you bet Grizz?
I did, too. I made money on the Grizz last night.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you.
Let's go.
I only knew of one wager.
Let's go, Jay Smooth.
I only knew of one particular wager
last night. I did a parlay with the over points.
Was a sweat-free winner.
My little $3 or $4 bets are not really worth bringing.
I kind of went heavy last night. 10 for me last night.
But
on
back
the
to the point, I wasn't feeling that either.
Mm.
And then Texas, Bennett told me it was going to be a blowout, basically.
Right. Because it's just not that easy. It's never that easy.
Well, the Grizzlies are too good at home, and that's too bad a road team. And those things had to be considered. Like, every Grizz player that got in the game was probably going to have a hell of a game, and they all did.
Exactly,
like, that's
right.
What happens for this team when it's at home.
Exactly right.
Santi giving you 15-7.
Yeah, yeah.
Kennard's hitting.
You know, it's like buying.
But I don't know why they're so bad on the road. We're supposed to know our reason. It's discipline.
Yeah, I don't.
But why is Golden State this terrible, literally as bad a road record as the Detroit Pistons?
That I do not know.
Can't figure it out.
It is a puzzle. But you got to look at it like buying a stock at bottom, right? Like, you were buying the 3-seed Memphis Grizzlies at the bottom yesterday, getting points at home against one of the worst teams on the road in the NBA. You know, and so in many ways, it was a great buying opportunity. I stayed off because I just didn't have a great sense of how the Grizzlies were going to respond. But, again, you knew they would be desperate to do it in front of their home crowd. And that's what they did last night. So I am certainly, like I said, I'm proud of them. I'm glad they responded in that way. It gives me a lot of hope that they can tread water here, get Ja Morant back. And, you know, I think
just be careful. We got a 3-game road trip.
No, I don't want to go overboard. I just hope that, you know, we were talking about Ja sort of learning. Right? Ja learning.
Ja and the organization.
Maturing. I hope the same can happen for Bennett so that when he sees numbers like this.
Usually he's so pro-Grizz, he would just say, no way.
Right, right.
I think he's been shaken by the recent event.
This was a clear and obvious miscalculation on his part.
Yeah.
The game wasn't even close. You knew after the first quarter.
You keep saying that it was 6 going in the fourth, and Grizzlies have been scoring 17 in the fourth quarters the last 3-4 games.
That's true. I guess it was a little bit of a sweat.
I was concerned.
No, fair enough. I mean, I'll give you that.
With their breakdowns recently in the fourth.
But just when you thought the Grizzlies were about to let the Warriors back in it.
No, there you go. There you go.
You know?
11-3 run, start fourth.
Rock bottom. Rock bottom. Rock bottom. Jaren out here hitting threes on your ass.
Man, I want Santi and Jaren. Just give me more Santi, more Jaren. I want some Kenneth Lofton, too. Can I get that?
You're going to get
it. Why we wait till the end?
You're going to get it, man.
Let him get in there and bang.
You're going to get it, bro.
Let
him bang, bro.
Did you see when Jordan Poole went in there for forget the three at the end.
Smash down there.
Yeah. Jordan Poole tried to go up for a layup. This man just standing there. It's like he ran into the Great Wall of China.
Smash down there.
Smashed.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the floor.
Yeah.
Lofton even went to pick him up. He's a nice big dude, but that kind of physicality. Why not?
No BC, no.
I like
no
it.
Steven Adams. Yeah. Let's get him some more run.
Get him some more run, big dog. Let's
Dude,
go.
Dude, he can get you some rebounds.
Hell yeah.
And knock down a 3-4 if you want. Mm-hmm. Maybe Zebo.
Maybe Zebo.
Yeah.
Congrats to the group.
Jason's partial to that left-handed look. He's got that lefty little shot. Yeah, skilled. I know you. You
love,
like it. Yeah, he is skilled.
Love skilled big man like him.
He's got it.
He's got seems to have the right attitude, everything else. I know defensively is the big question on him. You can't keep him on the floor because defensively he's going to give. Dude, just let him get out there and eat. You know,
let that big dog eat.
Especially the rest of this regular
John's
season.
Not a believer. Look at him. He's looking at his phone.
I haven't seen him enough. I mean, I need to see more of him. So to form a real opinion.
Well, they got to play him so we can see more of him at this level. He's already killed the
G League.
He's
killing that league, right?
Killing it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very transparent. You know, I need to.
It's good. You're being honest.
I need to see more of him, less of Conchar.
You know what? Conchar did pretty good last night.
Role players play well at home.
First time in how many games?
He finally got it going. So did our homie from the Clippers we just got.
Kennard
looked good. You know, and by the way, I think that what happened was, who's your guy that you were making fun of that used to play with the Grizzlies?
Oh, man, which one?
It's with the Warriors now. You said he had a rough game.
Oh, JaMychal Green.
Like,
yeah, he was.
You know what was the best thing to happen to the Grizzlies last night?
Reconstruction of Crosstown.
He hit 3 threes in a row, and so he got happy about himself.
Yeah.
I think that's why he decided to keep chucking it, and it turned ugly for him.
It did, fast. I thought you used to play here, bro.
He got like 3 in a row, and they were feeding him, and he was just it fell off.
Well, when you're feeding JaMychal Green, you are in trouble. I mean, that's what I would expect the Detroit Pistons to do. I would expect the Golden State Warriors.
This is not. I think you're right about something you said earlier, which is they aren't the same. I don't think they're not what we think they are in terms of that team like from last year. I don't think they are.
I mean, Wiggins makes them better.
Yeah,
something's wrong on the road.
I'm always hesitant to. I'm not going to count.
I'm not
them
trying
out.
To make a proclamation here
because I just think when you do that, like they'll rattle off six in a row, and then you'll be like, oh yeah, they're still
well. And the key to the playoffs is just being able to pick off one of those
one
road
or two.
Games.
That's it.
The problem
That's
is it. They've been so bad.
They
the
have.
Question is now, can they still do
well,
that?
Well, I think the question
can they use that this year?
Right. The real questions about the Warriors, right, are okay. Like, are they cohesive enough? Because let's not forget the event. Start the season. Draymond Green punched Jordan Poole in the face.
I'm telling you, we saw part of that rehashed the other night when Poole wouldn't pass him the ball.
Yeah, so like that's not forgotten.
That was where Brooks got him last night.
Shirt.
That was the left hook, in my opinion, because that becomes in play once you bring up that podcast crap. And I was actually proud of Dylan for resurrecting that piece of information.
Yeah, I thought it was they were well composed last night. They moved the ball. They shot the ball well. I mean. Full credit to the Grizz. It was a must-have performance, and they definitely got it.
Next story.
All right, a couple college basketball things that I want to update you guys on. One, Josh Pastner is out at Georgia Tech. That according to Jeff Goodman. 15-18 this season. He had hoped to continue on, but I think that has run its course there. He's been the Georgia Tech coach for the last 7 seasons. He is 87-113, he was 6-15 in the ACC this year. The high mark, I guess you would say, of the Georgia Tech Josh Pastner era was winning the ACC tournament during the COVID year with Jose Alvarado. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now he's like a pest in the league.
The Pelicans.
He like hides on the other team's bench.
Brandon Ingram was biting him the other day. It didn't make any sense. But like real biting, I won't say what I thought.
Yeah, so Josh Pastner is out at GT.
That's sad.
I think, look, I don't think anybody.
But expected.
I didn't expect him to last 7 years. Did you?
At GT?
Yeah, I didn't.
Well, no. He
especially
got a, he got a new AD.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah. So the time was coming.
Yeah, the time was definitely coming.
And when it's been two significantly losing, two straight losing seasons, right? Like they're
they're going the wrong direction for sure.
Last year they were 12-20.
So we'll see. I mean, he's made plenty of money. So we'll see if he feels the need to get back into coaching.
It's tough with no NIL.
Oh yeah, I mean
that'd be tough for any coach whether it's Josh Pastner or not.
It was a tough job in the ACC prior to
got
it.
Academic requirements. And now you got no NIL.
I mean,
NIL.
Wake Forest don't have no NIL. I mean, a lot of schools do not have even Power Five. You'd be shocked. Like. Memphis is still going to be if the job ever opened up again someday, you know, regardless of power affiliation, it's still going to be a coveted job because we know there's NIL here, or at least there is under Penny. I don't know if that would change, but.
I imagine the first time in his life Josh been fired too, huh? Because George Tech saved him over here, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. He was not fired at Memphis. He was hired away.
I'm saying just because the Ron Bell thing is clean off of him now, he's mm-hmm. fine. Did you see him the other day talking about how many seconds in a day there were? Like, that's a dude who was. Talking about how many seconds in the day there were before their ACC tournament loss. Just saying, the power of positivity. There's this many. You can change the world. It was same old Josh.
You covered his tenure
one man
pretty
can
closely.
Change the world,
right?
I mean, all but one year of it.
I want to ask you as a fan, like, do you come away with it that he's a decent coach? I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a terrible coach. Can I say that?
This will be posted on the internet for everyone to hear.
Put it on the internet. I think Josh is a good basketball coach.
I agree with you that he's not a terrible basketball coach.
I don't think he's a bad basketball coach. I'll make that statement. And I know that's not a popular thing to say in this market, but it feels that way, especially after watching Tubby, y'all. Like,
you know what? You know, and it looks like, didn't Ravino leave? The guy that, you know, he hired as his X's and O's guy, as his former coach when he got over there and was doing well with him, but didn't he go somewhere else? I think that was all that helped Josh having a guy like that. And remember,
X's and O's,
he pushed back against that while he was here for those years. We said, okay, well, he's done it at Georgia Tech. This is great for him. But I want to say he left him this year, went somewhere else, or got a head job again, and not having him, you know, clearly didn't help anything either. But listen, Josh, good guy, as good as they come. He's going to be fine working on Field of 68 with John next year.
That is exactly what he's going to do.
I'm sure he will. Goodman swears he's not going to do it.
I have produced a Josh Pastner radio show on this station, his first he ever did.
Goodman wouldn't do it because Josh says everyone's good? Interesting.
Yeah, like I
didn't think about it from that standpoint.
It's different when you're doing a show in
Memphis,
right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to do a show where you're the coach and everybody will listen to you, but I think from a national audience perspective, who wants to hear Josh Pastner come on and say, oh, that team's really good, lifetime contract.
I think Josh, if you coached him, could do it, but he'd have to have real information.
Buddy, that's intensive. Like, I don't think anybody would ever accuse Josh of being a great basketball analyst or mind. Like, he says the same thing about everybody. Like, he's got these crutches that he goes to. Lifetime contract. Really, really good. Everybody's good. Like, it's just like, I think at some point people would get tired of that. Now, you know, I mean, he's got some experience that he could speak about, you know, if he wants to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you talk basketball, you know, if you're breaking down a team, he can do that for you all day long.
Okay, well, this guy's really good, and that guy's really good, and I got to tell you, this guy's really good.
Somebody's going to try him because of personality, right?
Someone will try him because he's willing to do it, and he's got the...
He's Mr. Accessible. He'll always be available.
That is a huge hiring point.
Yeah, I don't root against Josh. I think Josh is a great person. Like, and Josh has been, you know, most people... maybe don't know this, but Josh Pastner called my dad.
Yep.
Like, he called my dad to, like, encourage him to, you know, keep up the good fight, you know, because he knew my dad struggles with you know, addiction and alcoholism. And Josh Pastner took the time out of his day to call him, motivate him, encourage him. He was at an event at the Salvation Army, and he talked to my dad in person. And it meant a lot to my dad, you know, because my dad's just like a Memphian, you know, like he doesn't really follow sports like that, but he knows Memphis Tiger hoops, and he knew at the time Josh Pastner. So it blew my dad's mind, right, that the Memphis basketball coach would, A, know who he was, B, know his story, C, take the time to talk to him, you know. And I think Josh has done that not just for my dad, but for many, many people, whether it's in Memphis, whether it's in Atlanta, Tucson. Like, he does a great job of making people feel important, you know. And I think it's genuine, too. I don't think it's a thing where he's trying to get money out of you like John Calipari, you know. I think it's genuine human to human. You matter. I'm just a person, too.
Yeah.
You know, and I want you to know that, and I care about you, and so from a person's standpoint, there's nobody I root for more than Josh Pastner. He's a great guy. He's a terrific guy. You know, for whatever reason, maybe things were said, interpreted, whatever between Josh and I, but in terms of, you know, I've never rooted for him to fail. Never, you know, spoken an ill word about him as a person. So. And I won't do that. So I, you know, whatever he decides to do next, I know he'll be successful at. But that was a tough ask. That was a tough gig, man. By the way, the other update I have for you: what you thought I was done? You thought I just had one college basketball for you?
No, you said two.
Yeah, I got two, man.
Don't bring it. Don't make it Big Pat. We all know.
Next story.
Nah, it ain't Big Pat.
He did get the axe though.
Big Pat. It is what it is. East Carolina and Houston.
Oh, yeah, I saw 17-17 early. What is it now?
Last I checked, East Carolina had a lead on them, 21-20. I don't know what it is now. I'm trying to find it. But they did have the lead, 21-20. I mean, regardless of what it is, and that was like with a minute left to go in the half, regardless of what it is right now, it is a knockdown, drag-out affair, and we are all Pirates. We are all Pirates right now, man.
You got your own business. It's
23-21 right now, and the number is still -14.5. Like, that tells you all you need to know about how the market feels about Houston.
Awful, awful. Meanwhile, Mississippi State's getting beat by 22 by Alabama in the first half.
Yeah, that's a statement right there, buddy.
Yikes.
You guys in?
Probably out with that kind of ass-whooping, aren't you? It's close. They're bubble. I think their last four in is what I saw last.
That's one you'd rather have. Like,
I think you needed a little closer. You need a little closer. I mean, you're right there.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a quad one loss.
Depends. Like, so Vanderbilt could oust you if they make a run here, right?
Well, you're gonna be in bid stealer watch mode.
Yikes! I don't know, man. They're right there. They're on the bubble.
Yeah,
it sucks.
So, how about that? When do we start talking about Houston on upset alert?
Mm.
They're not on upset alert yet because they're winning.
Not concerned.
Nope.
You are not a Pirate today?
You need to be worried about UCF.
Well, that number's going Memphis's way.
Those games have been close.
So how about you? Yes. Why don't you calm down?
You know, I did this when the Shockers beat USF in the women's. I said, ooh, here we go. We're going to win the whole thing. We're going to go win. I mean, get out of the semifinals. Too. You start looking ahead of that stuff. But take care of your own business first.
Mm-hmm.
See Houston if they're there in the final.
Yeah, but it is
just a happy man.
Hey, it's a knockdown, drag out affair right now between East Carolina and Houston. So maybe it is March. Maybe, and we deserve it. We deserve a stroke of luck. You know, maybe East Carolina hits a half court, you know, 3/4 quarter cut court shot. I mean, look, if you're there at 23-21 at the half, you're hanging with them. So that's what I would tell them. Hey, I know we suck, but we're only down 2. So let's try to do that again. You know what I mean?
That's your speech?
Yeah.
Sound like Josh.
Like, well, no, Josh was like, when I was a student manager, I used to have to clean everybody's drawers. But that's not what I am today. I'm a coach, damn it, and you're going to listen to me. No, that's not what he said. But he said something like that, right? Like, I was a student manager, and I remember my trip.
Pretty much.
Yeah, come on, man.
I will say, going back to him real quick.
Okay.
Alvarado, do you remember that press conference he did after that game? I think it was ACC tournament or something. He was emotional, crying, talking about how much he appreciated Josh and the chance that he gave on him. He's crying. It's out there. We talked about it when it happened. That it just seemed like to me, as because you point out, Josh is calling your dad. Like, his relationships with the media and everything else got you to the point where you're like, this is a great man. This guy makes you feel important. He cares about you enough that he's calling your folks and all that. But what seemed to be missing during those first few years of Memphis, and again, it's his first time as a head coach, was the relationship between him and the players. And that's not for me to go back to the Shaq interview, which laid that all out, but it seemed like that as a whole. Did his guys love him? You saw by the time he was at Georgia Tech, guys like Alvarado and them, they loved him. And so what I thought that Josh clearly worked on, besides just, you know, adding to his staff, you know, that kind of thing, was clearly his relationship with players changed. Like, Josh would always do whatever you could for a player. That never changed, and he took care of Joe long after Joe had left Memphis. But in terms of the that player's love for you, right? That relationship with you, and if you've reached him to a point where he's, you know, he looks at you like, I think that he was still learning, and I think clearly had done better with, so much though that Alvarado was crying. I mean, what are we talking about? Ended up being a great player.
Well,
who Josh helped develop.
I will
and
say,
clearly, he had a great relationship with Josh through his time there.
Yeah.
That was something that seemed to be missing with Josh's players here.
No,
But again, you're learning that as you go from graduate assistant to
totally fair
to assistant to now head coach of a real program.
And I will say this for Josh too, like, and full credit to him, you know, he took chances on guys as well.
Man, Jaren was that.
Yeah.
He helped straighten Jaren Johnson's
life out. He did. And even though the relationship between himself and Joe had grown pretty icy for various reasons, he was there
for Joe. He still
took
care of him, right.
In a time where I don't know or think that Joe would have done the same for him. But he felt
that's
obligated.
That's what I'm saying. Getting them to reciprocate it was what I'm talking about.
No,
and that ain't all on him.
No,
but
it's not.
But
it's
as
not.
A coach,
yeah.
It's, you know, to draw that out of them, that's a lot of times a talent that he seems to have gotten better at.
Yeah.
As he's gotten older and
more mature. I mean, again, like, you know, the result on the court are one thing, but there are there are other parts and aspects to being a good and successful coach. I could point you to a lot of coaches that are successful on the court, but morally bankrupt, or that have guys in their program. Like, you just mentioned him. Let's take Nate Oates, for example, right? Like, what kind of programs he got down there? He's got three guys that, you know, and a fourth, I believe, that was at the scene. Or it was three. Mm-hmm. Three guys involved in the death of a mom, you know, in various ways. You know, that was never something you were going to hear about with Josh. Like, Josh was just never going to run that kind of a program. And so I give him credit for understanding the importance, not just of winning, because he also recruited at a high level, but also of making sure he did it in a way that was not going to embarrass the community.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
You know, and I do, and I look, I get it. It didn't work, all that. But I still think that's important, you know? I still think there has to be that respect to the community, that we're not just going to have people
respect
here that, you know, are going to break the law, or they're going to give embarrassing headlines to the university, you know? And I think Josh did a great job of you know, finding those guys and also determining who did and maybe didn't deserve a second chance. You know, I think Jaron's a great story. So anyway, man, I don't know what he's going to do next. Kyle Tucker from The Athletic said he wouldn't be surprised to see him on Cal staff next year. I don't know if that'll be in Kentucky.
Well, it's been Barbie, Antigua, like, yeah, they've all kind of done that,
right,
haven't they?
Yeah, so that would make sense if Josh feels he needs to go that route.
You don't think of South Florida or somebody would?
I don't think so. Not, I don't.
Not with where he's at, because it gives you no pop when you get it.
Yeah, I just don't think.
Tough to sell. I think even coming out of the ACC.
I think he probably needs to take a year off before he kind of becomes
disagree.
You know, a candidate again. Because it's just, you know, maybe you take a year off. You go, honestly, he needs to go be an assistant somewhere again. He needs to, you know, go glean. Just, you know, I don't pay dues. You've already paid your dues. But, you know, just to kind of restart. Start over a little bit. I don't suspect that's the last we've heard of Josh.
Oh, no, he's too young.
I salute to him. You never know people truly, but I've always felt like he does things, you know, in a respectable and quote unquote right way. So
unquestionably,
I certainly appreciate that. All right, Anthony Sain's going to join us at 1:25. We will talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies, get his thoughts on last night's victory, and honestly, like, does it change anything? Does it change anything how you feel about the Grizzlies? What about the Warriors? But first, I want to tell you about Shoot 360. It looked like the Grizzlies had been in the Shoot 360 gym last night, especially in the first quarter, man. Splash Green Machine is all you saw last night. And that's what the great thing about Shoot 360 is that, yes, there is technology that is there for your son, daughter, niece, nephew. They love basketball. They're getting serious about it. They will love it, and they will get better at the game of basketball because they're going to learn, hey, I got to tweak this on my jumper. I got to work on my muscle memory here, passing, dribbling. You're going to get better with the time in that gym. Also, birthday parties. Maybe you're looking for a birthday party idea. Why not Shoot 360? They got packages available. You can rent out just a couple of courts, or you can rent out the whole facility. Packages available, 85 Market Center Drive.
Yep, our man Thaddeus Young, an investor in this technology because he knows it's the wave of the future, and you can have your son, daughter, niece, nephew out working on this state-of-the-art equipment just like an NBA guy. That's going to have his kids on this now that they're playing ball as well. You can be on it too, even if it's just a passion.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.